Hello, and welcome to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. At Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, we would like to offer you information to improve your health by considering various lifestyle options. Our articles come from different sources, which we will always identify. The information presented is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your medical doctor or other healthcare professional with whom you consult. Here are some articles on whole food plant-based nutrition. And the first one comes from Dr. McDougall Health and Medical Center and is entitled, Got Milk? Got Disease? The British Medical Journal reported in the news on October 29, 2014, on milk intake and the risk of mortality and fractures in women and men, cohort studies. This observational study found higher death rates for men and women who drank three or more glasses of milk daily compared to less than a glass a day. There were also more fractures in general and hip fractures in the higher milk-consuming women. The researchers from Sweden focused on the milk sugar D-galactose as the trouble causer. They believe that oxidative stress and inflammation all over the body is caused by D-galactose. An accompanying editorial in the British Medical Journal, as well as the worldwide lay press, have tried to put these findings in perspective for the consumer. In reality, this balanced reporting has kept the consumer from making sensible decisions that would undermine the dairy industry. Cow's milk is not only unnecessary for strong bones and healthy bodies, but this category of food is more important, the cause of obesity and illness, than is red meat. May I remind you some of the harmful qualities of this product? Number one, the milk sugar, galactose, is toxic. As far back as 1981, cow's milk was reported to cause cataracts of the eyes. Number two, the fat you eat is the fat you wear. Whole milk is 50% fat. Milk advertised as 1% or low fat is still 18% fat. And cheese is 70% fat. Number three, risk for heart attacks and stroke is most strongly tied to animal fats, also called saturated fats. Dairy fat is 97% saturated fat. Dairy is loaded with cholesterol. Number four, milk is loaded with people poisoning chemicals. High levels of pesticides and herbicides are present in these foods. They cause cancer and brain damage. Number five, milk is filthy with microbes. Cow's milk drinkers consume bovine leukemia viruses, bovine immunodeficiency viruses, listeria bacteria, mad cow prions, and much more. Number six, osteoporosis and kidney stones are from bone loss caused by eating animal proteins and dietary acids. Hard cheese is the greatest source of dietary acids. Number 7, constipation is caused by a lack of dairy fiber. Dairy products contain no dietary fiber. Plus, cow's milk protein causes allergic reactions, which paralyze the bowels, making it almost impossible for children and adults to move their rock-hard stools. Number 8, cow's milk protein is the most common dietary cause of allergy and autoimmune diseases, including nephritis, which is kidney disease, and severe forms of arthritis. Number 9, lactose, the basic milk sugar, causes the majority of people worldwide to become sick with diarrhea, stomach cramps, and gas. And number 10, the factory farming of dairy cows is considered to be animal abuse, and the production of dairy foods is a leading cause of environmental pollution and climate change. Hopefully, today's headlines will cause you to eliminate all cow's milk products from your life. And this article was written by John McDougall, MD. For more information, see his article, When Friends Ask, Where Do You Get Your Calcium? You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you whole food, plant-based nutrition. Our next article comes from Evolution Health by Cyrus Kambada, PhD, and Kylie Buckner, RN, December 5th, 2025. Did you ever wake up feeling like something is off but struggle to put a finger on it? As you get out of bed, your knees creak, your back protests when you reach for your coffee, and persistent brain fog makes simple decisions feel overwhelming. Perhaps your doctor mentioned that you are inflamed or at risk for a heart attack and prescribed yet another medication to add to your growing collection. But what if the answer to that persistent inflammation isn't found in a prescription bottle? What if the solution is staring at you on your plate? The hidden fire in your protein-rich food. Everywhere that you turn, nutrition, quote, experts, unquote, tell you to eat more protein, more protein, more protein. They tell you stories on social media about how a high protein diet is the answer to your metabolic problems, then encourage you to eat a ketogenic diet or a carnivore diet. But here's the problem. Most social media influencers don't read research. As a result, their, quote, evidence-based, unquote, insights aren't really evidence-based. The main problem with the conversation about protein is that not all protein sources behave the same way in your gut, liver, and blood vessels. Some types of protein fan the flames of inflammation, while others extinguish them. Recent breakthrough research has revealed startling differences between how plant and animal proteins affect inflammatory markers in your body. And now it's time to clear up the confusion. The plant protein surprise. Here's what the research actually shows. Soy protein consistently reduces C-reactive protein, or CRP, a key marker of inflammation, by approximately 0.27 milligrams per liter across multiple studies. For people with chronic inflammatory conditions, the benefits are even more dramatic. A clinically significant 0.49 milligrams per liter reduction. But it's not just soy. Legumes, nuts, and seeds all demonstrate consistent and powerful anti-inflammatory properties. The science about animal protein. Contrary to what you might expect, not all animal proteins increase inflammation. Fermented dairy products like yogurt and kefir actually show modest anti-inflammatory effects, likely due to their probiotic content. Even whey protein supplements show largely neutral effects on inflammatory markers. But here's where it gets interesting. When researchers replace red meat with plant proteins in controlled studies, inflammatory markers drop significantly. Your gut controls everything. Your gut microbiome serves as the judge between protein intake and chronic inflammation. The type of protein you consume directly influences which bacteria thrive in your intestinal tract, and these bacteria produce compounds that either fight or fuel inflammation. Plant proteins promote the production of short-chain fatty acids that have powerful anti-inflammatory effects throughout your body. In contrast, diets high in certain animal proteins, particularly processed meats, can promote the growth of inflammatory bacteria and reduce beneficial species diversity. Want the full breakdown? If you're tired of the confusion about what protein to eat to improve your metabolic health and are ready to take control of your heart health naturally, I've put together a comprehensive guide that reveals exactly how to eat to neutralize inflammation every day. When you make the right choices, you'll feel the difference quickly as your heart and your muscles, liver, and pancreas thank you profusely. If you're ready for reduced joint stiffness and pain, improved energy levels, better sleep quality, clearer thinking and reduced brain fog, measurable reductions in inflammatory markers, improved cardiovascular health, better blood sugar control, and reduced digestive inflammation. To read the full article, go to evolution-health.co and Google the science-based difference between plant and animal protein on inflammation by Cyrus Kambada, PhD, December 5th, 2025. You are listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. Our next article comes from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, and it's entitled, Your Order Might Be Influencing Strangers, by Nelson Huber Disla and Alexandria Huber Disla, October 2nd, 2025. We might expect our food choices to affect the choices of those around us and vice versa. But do we appreciate how significant this effect can be? Are some people's dietary choices more susceptible to social influences than others? Is there a limit to that influence? These are just a few of the questions researchers set out to answer in a study published in 2018 in the journal Appetite. For the better part of a year, the researchers sneakily recorded what people ordered for lunch at a Vancouver cafe restaurant where customers queued and in which they could choose between comparable vegetarian and meat options. For example, a stew with a meat base versus a lentil base. After collecting information on what people ordered, the researchers surveyed those who consented to be part of the study, asking questions about those individuals' dietary habits, their relationship to the person in line ahead of them, and whether they might have been aware of social forces at work in their decision-making process. The primary question the researchers wanted to answer was whether people's orders were influenced by the orders of those in front of them. What they found might surprise you, and it could improve our appreciation for what it means to be a good role model. But before we get into the details, let's define some critical terms. What is modeling? As defined by the researchers, modeling in the context of food is the phenomenon whereby people mimic the food intake or choice of another person. Notice that choice is only half of the modeling equation. Research on intake, the other half, is already more established. A 2015 meta-analysis of 38 articles found a significant modeling effect for food. Participants ate more when their companion ate more and ate less when their companion ate less. Interestingly, the modeling effect was greater for women than men. It was also greater as an inhibiting effect than as an augmenting effect. In other words, although people model food intake when the outcome is eating more, they are apparently even more likely to model food intake in the opposite direction, when their companion eats less. This makes sense given that in most social contexts, not overeating is an injunctive norm, especially for women. Injunctive norms are those that people perceive as being approved or not approved. They are what we think we ought to do. It seems reasonable that this injunctive norm might reinforce the inhibitory modeling effect. Food choice modeling can be trickier to study, particularly with entrees. In more rigorously controlled studies, participants may be especially susceptible to social influence because of the heightened uncertainty of finding themselves in an unfamiliar environment and knowing that they are being studied. Observational studies like the 2018 study can capture behavior in a more natural environment, but it is difficult to rule out other influences on food choice or to generalize the finding to the broader population. Vegetarian or meat? Now getting to the lunchtime cafe at the University of British Columbia, Vancouver. After starting with 269 consenting participants and excluding those who knew the person in line ahead of them or those who were already vegetarian or vegan, the researchers were left with 174 participants. The headline finding was that individual orders matched the person in front of them at a rate significantly greater than would be expected by chance. In other words, it seems that customers were indeed modeling the food choices of those in front of them. Following a prior meat-based order, the proportions of meat-based orders increased from 73% to 82%, exceeding the rate that one would expect from chance alone. What is encouraging is that the modeling effect seemed even greater for vegetarian orders. Following a vegetarian order, the vegetarian orders increased from 27% to 47%. Do we know the forces that move us? What we found most fascinating about the study is that more than three-fourths of the participants claimed to have not been influenced by the prior order. Still, the modeling effect was significant even among that group. This suggests that modeling may occur beyond our awareness, a notion well supported by the wider scientific literature on social influence. Generally, we underestimate the external influence on our choices, perhaps because we desire to feel control over our destinies. One exception is when admitting to external influences supports self-serving biases. For example, women in a pasta feeding study were more willing to cite external influences, which was portion size, as an excuse for overeating. While participants may have been influenced simply by witnessing the prior order being prepared, the researchers note that the meal choices were all in an open display, so visual prominence is unlikely to be the sole factor driving order matching. Other limits of the study include its relatively small sample size, and I suspect more importantly, its location on a university campus. It is impossible to know whether an equally robust modeling effect might occur in different settings with populations not predominantly made up of students who may be more susceptible to social influence or more open to shifting toward plant-based diets. The power of being a good role model. Given the many health and environmental benefits of switching to a plant-based diet, there is growing interest throughout the plant-based movement in how we might more effectively encourage behavior change in others. To successfully and quickly address the global crises related to animal food consumption, all of us, policymakers, entrepreneurs, researchers, and every individual consumer in between, must better promote the strategies that work. Equally, it would be useful to know which strategies are counterproductive so that we could avoid them. That's easier said than done. Because we are dealing with relatively new areas of study, there remain many more questions than answers. The effectiveness of confronting people with information is unclear. So much depends on the type of information you share and the circumstances in which you share it. In some cases, even seemingly harmless approaches might backfire. I'm sure many of you can think of a few examples in which trying to start a conversation about a plant-based lifestyle might do more to shut down interest than inspire change. One thing that cannot backfire, though, is being a positive role model. While more research in this area is needed, we now at least have some compelling evidence that our example alone can inspire others to choose healthier options, whether we know it or not, even whether they know it or not. So make sure to continue treating yourself well. Eat wholesome foods, prioritize learning, exercise regularly, and cultivate a healthy social lifestyle. You never know who might be watching. You have been listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a happy and healthy rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming that's coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona.